Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This week on Brumbeats World.
That's how it's set up. That it's Topanga who needs to repair this because Topanga's the one who broke this. And it's like, no, Topanga rightfully was like, hold on, wait a minute. My definition of love was challenged and the guy that I'm engaged to is not making it any better.
Honestly, bro, I'm so disappointed in their relationship. Like,
I agree.
As an adult watching this, it's such a letdown to see Corey and Topanga not live up to what they were in my brain when I was a kid. When this boy meets
world. What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Brad Meets World.
When it's Brad Meets World.
Your boy meets world fancast 2024. I'm Siege.
I am Tony Coitus. How are you?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Okay. I have no why. I have no idea why we're animated. Maybe it's because we're tired. Who knows? But
maybe. You know, I anytime I hear the Welcome Back Cotter theme song, I get lit. I don't know if that's just me, but
anytime I hear it, I actually think of the Mace remix.
The Mace sample is so good. It's one of the best samples of all time.
It really is. It really is. Ooh, you know it, need ya. Yeah, yeah. Check out the song. You'll love it.
By the way, can I just say, I miss the Mace era of rap. Rap Ooh. Was so much fun in like the late 90s when it was all about just like shiny suits. And obviously the P. Diddy of it all, we're not going to discuss. But
oh, you want to bring up Diddy? You
want to bring up actual Diddy? Music that Mace himself was contributing to was so much fun. It was so much fun. I wish I was in the clubs when like that, when that dropped. Man. Okay, go ahead.
I agree with you. No. I'm with you. Like, it was fun. It was a different time. I don't know. I don't even know where we're at in rap. I feel so old because yeah. I can't tell you what's going on in music at all other than the music that I listen to.
Sure. Yeah.
I know that Megan's still killing it. I enjoyed me some Stallion.
Sure.
That's where I'm at. So
I feel like Drake throws out some bullshit every few months or so. So there's
I saw something not too long ago that was like, Drake is going through a midlife crisis and we should all just be aware of that. And I was like, yeah, no, it kind of shows.
I think Drake is one of the most mid rappers of all time. I do not know how he got on the like the Hall of Fame. Come after me.
Wow.
Come
really?
After me. I'll have really? This conversation. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, you have to have that conversation with somebody who knows what they're talking about because I just told you I haven't really updated my playlist at all.
Sure.
But we are here to talk about something brand new, at least for us, in a brand new year. We will be talking about season 7, episode 4. There's no such thing as a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
As always, if you are listening to us for the first time, hi, I'm Siege. And make sure that you hit subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you hit follow. If you are listening to this on your phone, and check out our Patreon. We got merch. We'll do all the rest of the shindigs later.
Sure. But
now would be a good time to just kind of mosey on into the Tell Me About It.
Yes. Let's get into the Tell Me About It for season 7, episode 4.
I told you, I don't know why. I took a deep breath and I choked.
I saw a TikTok that was like, everyone has a subtle cough now. And people were like speculating in the comments were like, it's winter. Like, it's winter.
I mean, maybe it is, but that don't mean it's good. Like,
long-term COVID.
Long-term.
Okay. 7
Millennials, the future is just
bleak.
It is
bleak.
It is what it is. They can tell us we have anything. We're like, you know what? Honestly.
Probably. Honestly. I drink Coke Red Mountain Dew. Can't tell you what it is.
You're right. We were raised on Four Loko at a point in time. At this point in time, we make it to any new age and we like, you know what? That was longer than expected.
Unregulated Four Loko. I'm surprised I'm still alive. Okay, let's jump into 7-4.
Tell us about it. School spirit is in the air. Jack and Eric place bets on college games while Topanga debates taking Corey's last name.
You know, I was going to get you for being pitchy, but then you brought it back around and you made it make sense. I like it. I liked what I heard. Okay, you guys, this is season 7, episode 4. There's no such thing as a sure thing. Topanga's parents come into town to share their divorce reasons, prompting Topanga to reconsider her relationship with Corey, ultimately leading to them getting back together. In a B storyline, the Pembroke versus the Amish football game is here, and we learn that Jack has a gambling addiction, which Eric, of course, makes worse.
Can I just say that synopsis was so much easier to follow than this actual episode?
FYI, I did have to like move some things around in order to make it work, but you're right.
I thought this episode was trash. I'm just going to say it. We're flat out.
Really?
I did not care for this episode. I want to get through this quickly. Yeah, this episode, I'm just kind of whatever about.
You know, I'm whatever about the episode. I'll give you that right off the bat. But I like lately, season 7 is so polarizing for us because episodes that you love and you're like, I'm having a good time. I'm like, what are we doing? And episodes that I'm like, you know what? I can dig it. You're like, trash, throw it away. And yeah. I just, that makes for a good conversation, I guess. Yeah. Get into it. Roll call. You lied to me.
You know what?
I saw will say myself that. Some Riri.
I'm going to take back what I said. I said I did not know if we were going to get any other follow-up on them. In all fairness, they're back. They came back for one day of filming. In all fairness, they were in this episode for all of 5 minutes. If you went to the bathroom during the live airing of this, you missed it.
Like, I agree.
It happened so fast. It's such a kernel of what this episode was.
Completely agree. I'm just saying, you told me that last time I saw Marsha, that was the last time I would be seeing Marsha.
You're right.
And the reason why I bring that up is because I actually like Marsha Cross as Rhiannon this episode. I thought she did better.
You know what? You're right. You know, we had a poll on our Instagram recently where we were asking people who they thought was the best of Topanga's parents. Correct. And I believe Peter Tork, who played her father originally, was the clear winner. But I think people preferred Marsha Cross over Annette O'Toole. And so...
No, actually.
Oh, it was the other way?
The results. I'll say there's debate still. I can't remember like the specific numbers, but Annette O'Toole actually was getting a lot of the votes. And I was like, I disagree. And that's the one reason why I remember, because a lot of the votes were like... And I think it's just like the Peter Tork pairing. If you're going to have Peter Tork, then Annette O'Toole feels like she goes...
Sure. That's the one thing I do remember reading is that people thought Marsha Cross was way too young to play Topanga's mom in this. And I kind of believe him.
And I did the math. And at the time, she would have been 37 when the episode originally aired. And playing, like, I could see her playing like a 40-year-old mom. And if that's the case, then she could have a daughter.
Damn, she just looks great. She just looks great.
However, yeah. Annette O'Toole is 10 years older than Marsha Cross. And I think that's where everybody was like, now that's
the that works mama. That math is mathing. Okay, let me tell you right off the bat a big problem I have with this episode.
Talk to me.
The Sean and Angela of it all.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Talk to me. This is so, I'm like really excited. I don't know why, because I just... Everything that you say, I disagree with, but I'm excited.
No, it's fine. You know what it was? It was that there was like a few episodes ago when they originally broke these two up, Corey and Topanga. Yep. I was just like, man, they're going through all of this just to put them back together in a neat little bow in just a few episodes. And you know what? I was right. And because of that, I feel like all the stakes that were prepped up over the last few episodes that were supposed to be the stakes for the season, I just don't think hold up. And I feel like this episode wrapping everything up so quickly in a cute little bow with Topanga getting jealous because Corey's getting that penguin pussy. Like, I don't believe it. And I'm having a hard time coming to terms with the fact that, like, you know what, Sean and Angela, I get it. They're excited to be back together. They're making out nonstop. That's fine. Why? Go to the dorm. Go have sex. Like, why are you in the middle of here doing this? Like, it just feels like a waste of them. In the same way, I feel like they were just props so Corey could point to them and say, Topanga, why aren't we doing this? And have Topanga be like, well, I do miss making out with Corey. Like, it just felt like, I don't know. I wasn't a fan.
I disagree. Yeah, you want to know why? Because I felt like we get so often we get our side characters who are doing nothing. Like I said, when Sean goes to Pittsburgh with Corey, Ryder is literally just there for the ride. He's not doing anything. So the idea of having Ryder and Trina constantly making out in the background to the point where, like, even Feeny is like, how you doing? You know, like, just like, are you guys good? Are you still there? Are you still breathing? Taking little breaks for water, you know, like stuff like that. Like, I thought it was funny because it's just showing, hey, they are back together. They've wanted to be back together. I felt like that desire of being back together and that passion of all that built up weight is coming out now. So to me, A, they didn't really have place in the storyline. So to have them just constantly making out in the background made sense because this is a couple that denied themselves what they wanted for so long. And that does come back together that we're not just making out for the sake of making out. We're making out because we are actually happy and we're allowing ourselves to be happy. I liked that.
Sure. It was fine. Yeah. I think would have been better?
What?
If they weren't in this episode. Not that I miss them, but I just feel like any extra time that could have gone towards addressing Topanga's actual concerns, the actual history of Topanga and Corey, any time that could have contributed to that, I feel like should have. And I feel like Sean and Angela, and honestly, the whole Eric and Jack thing, I rolled my eyes at most of it.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm laughing because I feel like we've, like, done a Freaky Friday in the sense that I am someone who is looking at this as an episode of television, i.e. this is a contained event and what does they need to do from beginning to end? And if you are a writer who came in and they've already said all this other stuff and you get this episode and you're like, all right, well, I got to make all that make sense and I got to get us over here.
I will say this. To get, if you were given the assignment, hey, this is where we're at right now with all these characters. You need to make it so that Corey and Topanga are back together by the end of this episode. They accomplished it. They did it.
And in a way that's believable. And in a way that actually felt like Topanga learned the reasons that were holding her back. I'm going to come back to that a little bit. But, like, to me, I really felt like Topanga went through her own little story arc. I don't want to be with anyone. I don't want to hurt Corey. I found out why my parents are divorcing. Revelation. I hate my father. I hate all men. I don't want to be with anyone. My mom telling me, hey, that's not actually how this works. You shouldn't build your whole life on me and your father's relationship. I wouldn't trade a moment for it. I was waiting for her to say, because it let me have you, but she didn't say that. So we'll come back to that. And then at the end, hey, I want to be together again. That is good. This is a transition episode. This does the work that we've talked about of getting us from the breakup to the wedding happening in a way that at least is acknowledging it. And we're not just, Corey did some grand gesture and she didn't wake up one day and they don't address it at all. You know, this show is notorious for dropping storylines. And you're like, didn't we just have a problem? And they're like, nope. I guess that's over. This episode actually kind of looks back a little bit and makes all the other nonsense make sense. I do wish, and I don't know if it was a timing thing, I do wish that the Jedediah and Rhiannon scene was in either the previous episode or two episodes ago. Like, it does feel weird to be placed here when we're doing our football hijinks and everything else.
We spend so much more time on the football hijinks than we do in wrapping up the major conflict of the season 6 finale and season 1 premiere. That is my problem. This episode is full of bullshit. If you wanted to tie everything up in a neat little bow, why not spend the majority of the time on that? Hey, we have Topanga's parents coming back. She's going to have a major revelation. Why is it that the parents make a blink if you and you miss it appearance in this?
I'll give you that.
Maybe it's budget, maybe it's whatever, but they had the budget for a bunch of extras and a bunch of new costumes, and apparently Jack, Eric, and Rachel are all cheerleaders all of a sudden.
Thank you.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, this episode is full of nothing. Like, even the Jack and Eric storyline ends with nothing. So why do we spend so much time on it?
I'm going to have to hold you. This is one of those things where it's like, you're all over the place, so we're gonna do a little gag.
I only bring up the B storyline to say that that's part of the problem I have with the A storyline, is that we do not give Topanga and her issues the respect it deserves and the time it deserves for her to work through these issues. We spend way more time dealing with some football player who can't pass the test, which is a story they've already done, by the way, to... then Topanga's major like healing journey. So I just feel like that's my beef.
Okay, so it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like your main problem with this episode is that instead of giving us development and depth and storyline with Topanga, after giving us this huge revelation of Corey and Topanga's wedding is now off because of the divorce, we instead shoehorn that resolution in amongst regular sitcom nonsense. Is that correct?
Is exactly what my problem is. Thank you for articulating that.
No, and the reason why the only reason why I clarified that is because I agree with you story arc wise.
And you know what? You're right. I'm looking at the forest instead of the trees. I'm looking at the arc of Topanga's parents breaking up versus just looking at this episode. And so that could affect my thinking.
No. And again, I think it's important because I don't think you're wrong as a viewer to have a problem with this. But I do think that we are judging episode by episode. And this episode specifically, I thought did a good job as a bridging episode.
I will say this. Once we get to Topanga and her parents, once we get to Topanga working through her emotions with this breakup, I'm into this episode.
Yeah.
It's when the episode does all of the other stuff that it feels like filler to me.
I agree. And the only reason why I brought that up is because it is filler. This episode is to fill in the blank between the conflict and the resolution, i.e. we're getting married. That's what this episode is supposed to do. But I thought that this episode did a good job at doing that job with probably little preparation. You know what I mean? Like, you had someone else do all this nonsense and you were told you needed to get to this place. And I thought the episode did it in a fun enough way that actually allowed Topanga specifically to be outside working on her homework. Something that, again, Topanga should be doing and would be doing. To see Sean and Angela rekindle and constantly making out and being like, you know, honestly, that's not where I'm at. I'm not in that place. Not like, I really wish. She's like, I'm not in that place. That's not what I want.
I'm so glad you brought us to this scene because this is part of problems that I have. In this scene, Corey shows up, sees Sean and Angela making out, points at them, demands that Topanga kisses him. Then Corey forces himself on Topanga. Topanga pushes him away and then apologizes to Corey. And Corey says, I've had enough. And now Topanga's like, what did I do? Now he's going to like, no. From top to bottom, no.
Here's what I'll say to you. I almost had to remove Corey from the storyline completely in order for me to, because at this point in time, Corey's just not likable. He's just not likable.
He is so unlikable. Like, it is out of control how unlikable he is with Topanga specifically. Like, it's one thing if he was going out of his way to woo her, to win her back, to show how loving he is. He is just demanding and take, like, actually physically assaulting, taking what he wants.
Yeah.
In a way where it's like, Topanga's not addressing Corey. She's addressing this breakup and this, like, what this breakup has meant to her life versus, like, seeing what her relationship is with this dude at this time in their life.
He and literally says, "You think that's going to stop me? That's not going to stop me." And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, those crazy words.
Like, truly, when you look at Corey and Topanga's relationship, I hate to sound like Janet Jackson, but, like, I know he used to do shit for you, but what has he done for you lately?
I love that you sound like Janet, because yes, he's trying to control. Sorry.
No, but seriously, it's just this thing where they had an opportunity to make Corey likable in this moment of trying to get Topanga back, of bringing back the heart and the romance to the show. And I'm just not seeing it. And so for Topanga to get to this revelation of, you know what? Not everything's going to last forever, and that's okay. I love that for her. That's such a great lesson. I want to talk more about that.
Yeah.
But for her to be like, so I guess I'll get back with Corey now. One and one does not equal two to me.
Absolutely. No, again, I told you. I'm talking about the episode. I'm talking about Topanga. I'm talking about Topanga's parents. Corey, again, says, that's not going to stop me when she says, I don't want to. Forces himself on her. She pushes him away. He goes, oh, you getting physical now? That's the kind of relationship we have? Domestic violence? And he blames the victim. And you're like, we were all there.
Yeah.
And again, everyone just kind of ignored. Like, what I think more than anything is, even in this episode we see later on with the family, everyone's ignoring Corey.
Because Corey is so annoying. That's the
best way to get through life at this point in time. Ignore Corey.
Both him and Eric are so obnoxious and annoying in this episode, to the point where I was just like, dude, these Matthew kids need to be checked. They're annoying the hell out of everyone.
Amy and Alan, we gotta talk.
You know what?
We gotta talk.
Everything we saw of Amy and Alan the first few seasons, we were like, wow, they're such great TV parents. Like, they really have such a great relationship. But part of parenting is the end result.
Yeah.
Who did your kids end? What did they end up?
Yes.
Absolutely. Because that says a lot about your parenting as well. And I have to say, as cute as you guys are together, no, you guys need to reevaluate before Morgan gets old, because this isn't working.
You know what? It's something that Pod Meets World talks about all the time, which is that Morgan has become a little smart ass. So let's see. We have the idiot savant who is having a mental break. We have the asshole middle child who assumes everything should be about him and is forcing himself on his ex-fiance.
Yeah.
We have the little shit who is constantly mean to everybody. And then we have this new kid. And I feel like they're putting all their hopes and dreams on the new kid. It's like, no, y'all don't get to do that. Stop.
And you know what? As an adult, with my adult eyes, I see Morgan's, like, smart aleckness for what it is. This girl's desperate for attention.
I mean,
she always has been. She's been the forgotten child.
Absolutely. So is Corey. I mean, like, that's the thing. What, you know what? I don't want to blame the parents, but all three of these kids want attention and they're not getting it. And I think it's time we look at Amy and Alan and be like,
well, maybe this is an indictment on parenting in the 80s and 90s. That latchkey kid idea of parenting, that walk home after school and make yourself a snack and I'll get home at 6 o'clock and you're on your own. Like, that's what parenting kind of was until like the Nickelodeon generation got old enough to say, like, we're going to do things differently. But, like, this was it. Maybe this was the best you could have asked for, was just like your parents still being together and around.
And, I mean, because at this point in time, they are the only parents who are still together and around. Everybody else's parents are not. So, I mean, maybe they were like, we did our job. We stayed together. Ain't nobody else do that.
But I'm just saying
that their kids are insane.
Crash. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to address a few things that kind of, like, tie into this. One is the idea that Corey, first of all, he just decides that he's going to be the Penguin. And I was like, there ain't no tryouts. There's like you just decided you would be Penguin and they handed you the Penguin.
No. We have to back up. What happened was, in a fucking cartoon side story.
We're going to come back to the side story. That's why I ain't go there yet.
Okay, fine, fine. There was a need for a new mascot. Corey steps up. And my issue is that, like, the catalyst to this episode's journey starting was Corey being like, forget Topanga. I'm going to be the mascot. And Topanga's like, oh no, he's becoming the mascot. All of it. Like, he walks into the room, everyone's applauding, and she's like looking a little jealous. And I'm like, no, him putting on a penguin costume is in no way contributing to them getting back together. I can't believe that.
Well, no, what he said, there are two things, and this is why I'm bringing it up. First of all, if she says, you can't be the penguin, you'll hurt yourself. And he goes, oh, I ain't got to listen to you no more. I don't see no ring on his finger. Yeah. And so he goes off and he's going to be the penguin. That's like the catalyst. But him being the mascot suddenly, again, as you said, brings him penguin pussy powers. Like him having...
Which do not exist in the history of mankind. He didn't even bring her a stone. You know what I mean? Like even penguins have rules.
Even penguins have courting rituals. And you're right. Corey will not follow a courting ritual for nothing.
But anyway, no one.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
All of this is to say that Corey goes and he is now the penguin mascot. And in doing so, we meet someone else on our roll call, which is...
Does she even have a name?
Sasha Baris plays Janine.
Janine, okay.
He is also... Sasha is in The Hangover. She's in The Hangover trilogies.
Oh, wow. So okay, very cool.
That's who she is. But... So Sasha comes and she's just like all over Corey. And he's like, but I was like, I injured myself. I fell into the tubas. And she's like, that's all funny. That's all right. Hey, do you want to come back to my room after the game? And of course, Corey is like oblivious. What does that mean? And she goes, Corey goes, we barely know each other, which, you know, having sex. I'm like, sex is on the table. We talking about sex now. And sex is the one thing that Corey consistently is begging Topanga for, that she's like, not yet, not right now. So the idea that that would be put in front of them and they have Topanga see another girl offer him sex.
Okay, all right, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, this is why what I want to talk about. I brought it up.
This is what I'm talking about. You have Corey, I've been chasing you to marry you, and now I'm immediately considering hooking up with this other girl who wants me solely because she saw me in a penguin costume. We're going to get back to that.
She loves a man in uniform.
Topanga's issue is that her dad cheated on her mom. Corey cheated on Topanga. Her realizing that her dad's the marriage ended because of infidelity when she's already experienced infidelity with Corey, and now she's seeing Corey flirt with another girl so soon. This should all be contributing to anxiety. Not that she's going to lose him, but that Corey is the one that she needs to worry about being like her dad, not that she needs to worry about being like her mom. Like, these are the dots that should be getting connected, and they're not at all.
I completely agree with you, by the way. I don't know if you expected me to object, but the reason why I brought this up is because they dangle the carrot of sex in front of Corey. And the reason why this is important is because they show Topanga witness it.
Yeah.
And they're like, uh-oh, Topanga, if you don't, some other girl will. And that's kind of like, it's shown as a threat to Topanga. It's not explicitly said, but there is implication that if she doesn't do it, Tori will do it with someone else. And yeah, they even have a whole section where she's like thinking about it. She's like, Tori is allowed to do whatever he wants to do. And she's kind of like having that rationality with herself. But I think it's good for Topanga to still stick to her guns and be like, if that's what Tori wants to do, that's what Tori is allowed to do. But she doesn't say so in a confident way. She says so in a I'm second guessing myself type of way.
And
Tori being quote unquote rewarded with the option of sex doesn't come back later with him being like, hey, I said no to her. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like we see Tori actively say, actually, it's worth waiting for Topanga. Even if she doesn't want to be with me right now, I can't be with you. If we get that, I'm here for it. But that's not what we get.
No. And we've already seen Tori turn down a girl in the dorm without Topanga's knowledge. And that was a few seasons ago. Like, why not bring it in now that it's relevant? My major issue is the conversation that Angela and Topanga have, because Angela sits down with Topanga and is like, oh, well, I pushed away Sean for so long and now I'm the happiest I've ever been. So our situations are the same. And it's like, girl, why aren't you bringing up anything that Tori has done to Topanga to make her uncomfortable, to push against her boundaries, to go against her wishes? Like, there are things as the best friend that you could be saying to be like, hey, I know you're shook right now because he's getting that penguin pussy, but like, realistically, you had multiple reasons to not be. That's what I wanted. And I know I'm not going to get that, and I'll give up on it.
I agree with you, because what happened, what Angela says made me angry as well as what happens later, which is Angela goes to Topanga and says, how much more, what do you want from anyone? Tori already went to Pittsburgh to try to get your parents back together.
Do not reward him. Do not give him credit for that.
Everyone is trying to make you happy. And it's like, are they? Is anyone? Because later on in the episode, when she's actually saying what she wants, Tori ignores her. So it's not like, the problem is Topanga is being ignored. And we are ignoring that fact. Like, I get it. I get that this is a show where it's like, the boy needs to learn. This is Boy Meets World. And Corey's got to be the center of it. But you still don't have Tori listening. As a matter of fact, it's played for a joke at the end of the episode that Corey's not listening to Topanga. No one is listening to Topanga. Very similar to last episode where Angela was like, I don't want this boy around. Everybody was like, we know you. You do.
And that, bro, thank you, because that kind of contributes to all of this. By having it be this thing where Angela finally comes around and goes to Topanga, don't you feel like he's done enough? It just makes it feel like every issue that Topanga's had about why she hasn't gotten wanting to get married has just, everyone has just kind of been flippant about it. Everyone Correct. Has been downplaying it, and no one is taking it seriously, including now her best friend. So it's just like, it's not respecting what this gut feeling is that's scaring her away.
Exactly. And thank you. First of all, anyone, any person out there who's in a relationship, trust your instincts. Trust that gut feeling.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't go out of anywhere. And instead of validating Topanga's concerns, the show really does tell us, it shows us that Topanga is overreacting. And I don't think she is. As a matter of fact, in this very episode, Topanga's mom is yelling at her when she's like, I don't want, Topanga says, hey, I don't want to end up like you.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall in love and get married for the sake of getting married if I think it's going to end. And by the way, this boy has given me no evidence that it won't. He's given me no evidence that he's going to be faithful. We know that he will. I want to make it very clear to everyone listening out there. We know Tori, but you gotta judge people by their actions. Yeah. And everyone is saying that Tori is a good guy, but as you pointed out, 5 seconds ago, he was like, I want to marry you. And then the next 2 seconds, someone's like, you want this puss? And he's like, yes. So Topanga has valid reason to be concerned about Tori's fidelity. And that, I didn't even bring up Lauren, but if we wanted to bring up Lauren, we could. So for her mother to be like, what is wrong with you, girl? I'm not you, you not me. Let it go. I'm like, why are you yelling at her? She has valid reasons.
And it's so strange how even Topanga's parents center Corey in this whole conversation.
Yes.
We at no point take a look at Topanga's issues just standalone. Even her parents aren't like, this is a family thing. They're like, no, we came back. Jedediah says to her in the hallway before they go in to talk to Topanga, they're like, this is messing up her relationship with Corey. We have to do this. And I'm like, wait, Corey's your motivator? He wasn't when he was just in Pittsburgh? Like, but now all of a sudden you have to do this for them? No, I do not believe this.
And that is my point. Like I love what you said, because Even let's think about the fact that Topanga's parents come in and they're like, hey, this is what happened. Your father is in love with someone else. Topanga, again, just found this out and is rightfully like, oh, I was already worried about people not staying together and falling out of love. Not only have you fallen out of love, you are in a new relationship, in a new love that quickly. It has not been that long. Topanga, also, I was just going to say, Topanga, valid reasons, valid argument.
100%.
For them to come in and then say, Topanga, that has nothing to do with you. Our relationship is not your relationship. You should still give it a go. Get married. See how it, like, maybe love won't last. I'm not in love anymore, which is exactly what Topanga's afraid of.
Yeah.
But what she says, which I do like, is, I would not take back any moment with your father. And yeah. I like that, because that ultimate goal of, hey, sometimes things don't work out, but that's not the worst thing. Sometimes love is worth the risk and you may get hurt. That's part of it. I think that's a good message, because not every relationship will be an everlasting relationship.
Yeah.
We need to accept that about more and more marriages.
Yeah.
But for you to come in and say, girl, just get married. It's like, no, she's like, marriage is a really big deal. And to tell her to ignore all of her gut feelings and just do it doesn't feel like good advice.
And I think, honestly, as an audience, we are cheated by them skipping the conversation between Jedediah and Topanga. What we get is Jedediah and Riri in the hallway being like, we have to tell Topanga this. And then it cuts to Topanga saying, I want you to leave.
Correct.
We don't get the actual conversation. And this is what I'm talking about by the episode spending time on the wrong shit. Like, why are they skipping these pivotal conversations? So, I mean, yes to everything you said, but in general, I'm still, like, wanting so much more than I was given.
No, and again, I want to make it very clear. I think you're right to want more. And I think that we do, Topanga, and we do people who are in relationships everywhere, a disservice by not allowing us to see Topanga's parents have a conversation with her together, for them to talk through what happens. What are the signs of falling out of love? What was the fact that Jedediah was no longer listening, no longer paying attention, no longer did the little things. You know, like, all of those things would have been great for us to see. And then for Corey to come back and, like, if he was like, I've seen it done before, but if Rhiannon had said something along the lines of, he forgot that I liked lilies, you know, like he just, like, we went out one day, he went and he bought me flowers to make up for it. And he bought me lilies and he forgot that I'm allergic to lilies. That right there. And then later on in the episode, Corey comes back and he's like, hey, I got you daisies. And she's like, oh, you remember that I love daisies? And he's like, yeah, I always remember that you love daisies. Again, we're now seeing that Corey is not her father. And there is some kind of, like, parallel there, but we don't get that. What we get instead is, and I remember this because Topanga says, she says, I'm not rational, or I'm being irrational. She says something along those lines. And her mom goes, you're not rational. And I was like, but Topanga is known for being rational. That's her character thing. So for you to say that she's not being rational when she is, and to call it out as a flaw, which it's not, it's just like, who are you talking to? Because all you had to say was, you are being rational and you're thinking about this and you're thinking and thinking and thinking. What you need to do is listen to your heart. What do you feel? How do you feel about Corey? Because you're overthinking this. Again, Topanga, a very smart person, someone who intellectualizes everything. I could even get down with that storyline, but we don't get that storyline. Instead, we get, girl, ignore your mind, ignore your feelings, ignore every red flag, and just marry this man so you can get married.
You are valedictorian of your class, but you are being more emotional than logical, and you need to rethink things. What are we doing?
Let's move on to the B storyline.
Yeah, yeah. Can I just say this one thing about Topanga? When she finally decides to get back with Corey, she's like confessing her love for Corey while he's not even responding. And like, even at this moment where I'm like, she's finally giving Corey the thing that he wants more than anything, he's still not even listening to her and responding. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. Even after all of this, he still isn't listening to you. And so it just all feels like it's for naught. It all feels like it's for nothing at the end of it. I don't know.
I agree. Like, I expected, like, there's that joke, that little punchline where he's like, she's like, I want to be with you. He's like, so I guess it's over. And it's just like everything that she says to like reaffirm their relationship, he's misreading. I expected him to be like, oh, wait, what did you say? You know, like, because he had the script in his head. But they don't do that.
Yeah.
Topanga just pins him down and is like, you're not listening to me. Let me get on top of you to let you understand that I am now in this. And it's like, so Corey didn't have to, again, I think the problem is, we talk about this from a storyline perspective, Corey's not active in this.
Yeah.
Things keep happening to him and he doesn't learn lessons. He's just, we are just told as an audience that he has learned a lesson, but we don't see him learn a lesson because he didn't listen to her. She just jumped on top of him.
Can I say this? They broke up in season 3 with The Grass Is Always Greener, and it took until the Disney World episode for him to finally win her back, and it was the big, like, reuniting thing at the end of the season. When the Lauren thing broke them up, they were done for weeks, for episodes and episodes, and then they finally got back together, and it was the whole show was building up to them getting back together. They treat them deciding to get married less than they do them deciding to date again.
Yeah.
In terms of how they treat their reunion in this episode. And I'm telling you, viewing it all just feels like it's falling flat for me. Like, why aren't they giving this the reverence of, she's deciding that they're getting married. They've decided, yes, we, after all of the season 6 back and forth, we're finally getting married. It's finally happening. There's none of the weight of that. It all just feels like, all right, we're back together again. And it's,
I agree,
like,
with you.
I'm bored. I'm done.
Specifically because, to your point, in each of the, but you know what it is? I just thought of it. When we first, like when they first break up, again, it's Corey's feeling like they're in a rut. Maybe we need time apart. Then Corey decides that he wants to get back together. He'll woo her. When the Lauren thing happens, again, Corey decides that maybe he wants a different relationship. Mm-hmm. And so they're broken up. And then Corey decides that he wants to get back together. So he makes a big gesture. This is painted as Topanga's decision for them to be separate. So Corey has already done his big gesture. He went to Pittsburgh. I tried. I ain't gonna try again. That's how it's set up. That it's Topanga who needs to repair this because Topanga's the one who broke this. And it's like, no, Topanga rightfully was like, hold on, wait a minute. My definition of love was challenged, and the guy that I'm engaged to is not making it any better.
And by teaching Corey, i.e. the audience, that, well, once you do the grand romantic gesture, it's in the girl's hands, it's taking away Corey's ability to learn to listen and to evolve in his relationship. He did the thing that was the showstopper for him, which was going to Pittsburgh, which is not what she wanted or needed. Correct. But to him, he did the thing. So now it's your turn. The ball's in your court. And it's like, no, it's still in your court because you've never done anything to prove you actually want to be with her. I honestly, bro, I'm so disappointed in their relationship. Like,
I agree.
As an adult watching this, it's such a letdown to see Corey and Topanga not live up to what they were in my brain when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
B storyline?
Yeah, let's get into that B storyline because honestly, this B storyline, tell me this.
Yes.
Why are Jack, Eric, and Rachel cheerleaders?
Thank you. Nope. Honestly, that's when, like, if you want to go places, I was like, when did they join the cheer squad?
It's so strange.
They have shown no like no hint of athleticism out, like at least Eric and Rachel. So why are they cheerleaders?
Thank you. Because we were raised on fucking Bring It On. So we know not just anyone can join the cheer squad. At a college level, no.
Absolutely.
Cheerleading squads are recruiting from high school at a college level. They're not just going to take Eric because he wants it. I can't believe it. I can't do it.
Speaking of recruiting, that brings us to our final roll call, Grant Garrison, who plays Jerry Munga. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed Jerry. I thought he was fun. I thought for like his one episode, he kind of like was endearing. Specifically, there's like a little bit in the episode where he, okay, I know you're all waiting for it. Yes, Turned On by Jerry. Jerry is...
Oh, Turned On by Jerry.
It's good. I like it. But no, Jerry's cute. I'll give him that. But... he actually was like a little endearing to me when he was like, hey, when they paid me to go to this school, they didn't say nothing about no grades. I was like, oh, look at him. He just came to play football. It is not his fault that the school brought him here to play football and y'all aren't worried about his grades. That's like not on Jerry. I feel a little bad for Jerry. So I just wanted to give him credit because his performance like endeared me to him.
Okay, so I had a different approach to this storyline.
I said Jerry, we talking about the storyline is completely different.
No, but Jerry plays a part in it because Jerry plays a football player who, hey, Feeny, if you don't pass this kid, if he doesn't study, if he doesn't pass the test, he's not going to get to play the big game. And forgive me for forgetting, Boy Meets World fans listening, I don't know the episode, but did we not have the storyline already in high school where someone had to tutor a jock in order for them to play in the big game? Like, to me, it just feels like a high school shit. Like, I don't know how to say that, but like, to me, this just feels like Eric, Jack, and Rachel have literally shown no interest in Pembroke as a school spirit type of thing.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I get it. They're in college, like showing us different college events. Why can't we just show them at the pep rally?
I agreed.
Why do they need to be running the pep rally? This agreed. Is the kind of shit I'm talking about. Like, why do we have to have them so involved? Just having them attend the pep rally, just having them see what's going on with this kid who needs to pass the test, they can still get involved. They do not need to all of a sudden be a part of a cheer squad that I promise you we will never hear from again.
And that's my problem, is the fact that this will never come back up again. Like, oh, they're part of the cheer squad now? Watch, like, next week, it be like, oh, no one knows who they are. They are, like, you know, they're the outcasts of the school. It's just, it's weird that we make them center stage when we could just have them attend a pep rally.
You know what I did see?
But
I saw Jack and Eric being cheerleaders and having dinner with Eric's parents.
Yes. You thought that I was going to skip over my Jerick moment?
Like, I'm not saying 1 + 1 = 2, but in this case, I don't know. Jack being at the dinner for the Matthews.
Yeah. When Sean's not. Like, it's a.
By the way, where are they living? Are they roommates?
I talked to you about this. I had this whole conversation where I was like, where are they? What is going on? I believe last episode they said that they were living in the girls' dorm, which I was like, doesn't make sense because you can't just sublet someone else's dorm. That's not how dorms work. But like, whatever.
Okay, whatever.
I'm letting
whatever.
It go. Yeah. I will say the B storyline is the most sitcom-iest of like everything that we have a problem with. I feel like the B storyline is the most sitcom of it all. And it like, but well, there's so much attention paid to it that I wasn't sure it was the beat storyline because I was like,
thank you.
There
was so much attention given to introducing Jack's gambling addiction into the show in such a ha-ha way. But like, let's be real. Jack told us that he went to rehab.
Yeah.
Jack went through a 12-step program. Yeah. Jack almost cost his parents their vacation home. Like, this is a serious problem that was introduced as a joke that we're not going to circle back to. And like, to throw out a gambling addiction to that degree as a joke is kind of wild. It's kind of wild.
It is. Here's the thing. We, having done it, we know the writer of this episode. We know that he likes to go there and bring up like really heavy things. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed seeing Matthew Lawrence kind of play the zany one. We are so used to Jack being the straight man to Eric's zany, but to see Jack, to see that his character quirk is, oh no, when it comes to gambling, he gets a little twitchy. He's like, oh, I gotta do it. You know, like even to the point to where Eric looks at him and is just like, yo, you okay?
Thank you. I'm so glad you brought this up, because I have to say, like, I feel like they've been doing dick with Jack this entire time that they've had him for the most part. Like, I feel like we had some storylines with him and Sean when he first got introduced, but now Jack doesn't even pretend that Sean exists anymore. It's so weird. Whatever, we'll move on. Jack says, like, hey, here's some insight to my history. I have a serious gambling problem. I went to he says the words rehab in this episode. It's a serious thing. I love that we're getting this backstory on Jack. I just wish it was given the gravitas that maybe, I don't know, it's zany, it's haha, it's sitcom, I get it. He has a gambling twitch. The way you said it made me think of it as a little bit more humorous, but the way I heard it was he's had a history of ruining other people's lives because of his decisions, and we're all playing this up as a joke.
No, I agree with you. I love, first of all, let's just applaud finally getting to learn some more about Jack. Like, we just don't know anything about this guy who's been in our lives for a while now. So to see that he has a quirk and he has a gambling addiction, and like for not only for him to have a gambling addiction, but for him to have a gambling addiction that he is ignoring and that everyone else is just kind of like, should we be concerned? And he's like, no, 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 it's cool. And like the joke of I went to rehab, therefore I'm good. Is it still a problem? Maybe, but I went to rehab, so problem solved.
Also, we're getting insight into Jack's financial situation, which I think is very interesting. Absolutely. He has the kind of money that could get him out of a major sexual assault case. You exactly. Understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He has Brock Turner money. Like, that's what I got from this specific episode.
And I think you're right, but like the idea of him being from that world and being able to afford to have a gambling addiction, and Eric,
it's not his money, he'll exactly. care,
and Eric not necessarily being that type of person but wanting to still come along, and even like in an idea, I kind of wish it had like brought it back to this, but the idea of like what really curbs Jack's gambling addiction, if we in fact never hear from it again, which I expect is the case, would be Eric wanting to get involved and him being like, okay, it's fine when I do it. But if my behavior influences Eric to the point where he will do it, I can't do this anymore. Because even though I may have the money to spare or I may know what I'm doing, this motherfucker is crazy.
Can I give you a hot take?
Yeah.
I love Will Friedle. I told Will Friedle the first time I spoke to him, I was like, you don't understand what it means to me to speak to you. You are my greatest TV hero. Yeah. I hated Eric in this episode.
What?
I found Eric to be so annoying in the Feeny scene, in all of the scenes with Jack leading up to it. This whole thing about him not understanding the stakes of gambling with mobsters, seemingly. I'm just like, at a certain point, you need to learn the lesson. I hope your thumbs end up in jars. Because clearly you are 20-something years old at this point, and there's no excuse for you to add money to a gambling debt with bookies not knowing anything about sports. Like, to me,
it's a sure thing. And it's one of those things where it's like, it is a sure thing. If this guy doesn't get his grades up, he's not going. And we know, again, you said that you didn't like Will this episode. I enjoyed Will this episode.
Okay. Why?
Because of like lines like, what South African country abolished apartheid? And
that's not his line. Rachel asked that to the football guy.
He goes, Jerry says,
Florida.
Yeah. And Will says, well, he got one right. And that's funny. Like, the idea of Jerry being stupid and then Eric not knowing that he is, in fact, stupid, it's just thinking that that guy is smarter or getting it right. That's funny. Even the line where Morgan is like, I hear he's dumber than you, Eric. And Eric goes, no. They're like, you know, like, it's
but
fun.
That's what I honestly get why you were charmed by it. Like, because Will Friedle is a fantastic performer. Yes. However, when looking at Eric as a character, have we not moved on from, like, the season 4 Eric who, like, put his name into a magazine sweepstakes with every letter to make sure that he got, you know what I mean? Like, is there any evolution that's happening with this character, really? I get that he's zany. I get that he's comedic relief. We had this character go through a major breakdown in the previous season when he lost access to this boy that he had formed a serious relationship with. And so to see that he is literally nothing but the most low-hanging jokes at this point is a little upsetting to me as a fan of this character. That's just me. That's just me.
I agree with you. Again, I think the problem is I looked at this episode as an episode. You looked at this episode as part of a series. And because of
by having the introduction of Topanga, having the introduction of Topanga's parents come back, having this be a wrap-up to the season 6 finale conflict, I have to apply that lens to it. There's no other way.
I'm not saying that you were wrong to do so. I said that you did it differently, whereas I just watched this episode as a television, an episode of television. That's it. And as an episode of television, I agree with you in the one sense that when Eric's in Feeny's office, and he's like, oh, let me go back in there, it's just like, okay, we're a little bit obvious. And then when Eric is like being dumb and he's like, what if he gets a 42? What if he gets a 20? Even Feeny's like, are you kidding me? like you're wasting my time. What's going on? Like, even like for Feeny to be exasperated with Eric in that way, where he's like, are you kidding me? It does kind of feel a little bit in the same vein of everyone ignoring Corey being like, what about me? I'm going to be the penguin. In the sense of, like, people are not paying attention to you because you're not really growing as a character or a human being. And even though you are probably going through some stuff, as a character, you're more so being annoying. And
this is the shit we were talking about before with Corey. This is the shit that I was talking about where it's like, Amy and Alan, can we have a serious conversation about the people your children grew into? Because it's not just Corey. Like, Eric is annoying to everyone in his immediate group. So when are we going to have a conversation about this?
Also, I will say, in this B storyline, I expected more from Maitland's character. Like, I thought that we were going to have Maitland be tutoring him. You know, like,
That have been great? To show Maitland as a serious student, to show Maitland as a student who is involved with other people? No, she never is. She never has been, bruh. Yes. When are we going to be real about who Rachel is as a character? Because she's never been that person.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it's weird because I'm like, is Rachel smart? I don't know if Rachel's smart because I don't know enough about her. I've never seen her in school.
We saw her do that. I'm going to push back. We saw her pair up with Feeny in that one presentation where she choked up and then Feeny gave a conversation about, like, environment versus circumstance or whatever.
But that's my point. My point is that doesn't make that she's smart. Why is she the one talking to Jerry? Is my
point.
Can
I ask you a question?
Especially when we just saw Topanga sitting outside.
Yes.
Studying. That's my point. My point is, go ahead.
What's Rachel's major, bro?
I
know what Jerry's major is, and I don't know what Rachel's major is.
That's a very good point. That's my point. That's my point right there.
If she's a history major, if she said, hey, I'm tutoring you in history because I'm a history major, thank you for enlightening us on what Rachel's major is. I don't know what she's in college for.
I don't know what Rachel's doing. She's a cheerleader at some point in time. We never really see her in class.
Bruh,
This one episode. I promise you, this one episode.
So this is my whole point. I would have liked if Rachel was dating Jerry. You know, like that's her boyfriend of the week or something. Because again,
please,
we don't do anything else with her. Why can't that be the guy that she's dating?
She's clearly not dating Jack or Eric in either of these in this whole season. Exactly. So why not?
So that's what I'm saying. I just was disappointed in Maitland's character because I felt like they could have given her more to do. Again, we always say this, one line, one little thing, and it would have brought her in a way that made sense instead of for us seeing Rachel tutor this guy when we have no idea Rachel's own level of intelligence.
I would love to talk to Maitland Ward. I don't know who is listening who can make this happen. I have so many questions for Maitland Ward about what she thought of how Rachel was written from beginning to end. Because I have so many problems with her character all through season 6. And I was optimistic that season 7 Rachel might be different. But she really is never given the depth or the care that even Angela has been given on the show. Yep. Like, she's never taken seriously as a character.
She's never taken seriously. I think the only person who's written with less depth would be Morgan. I feel like every other character
Amy, or name a woman, insert woman's name here, Topanga, sure, I would believe you, because the women aren't given the time.
I agree, and that's why I said I was disappointed with what we did with Maitland, specifically because it doesn't even tie back into what the boys are doing. You know, I expected
the boys have gotten into what this episode's paints as such a high-stakes situation where they could encounter violent repercussions. And what we see when they inevitably have to face the consequences of their actions is not them having to problem solve the way out of it, not them having to use their wit or use their community to help them. What they do is they escape to an Amish community, and now we're into a whole other sitcom situation. What the fuck is going on, and why isn't this more about Topanga?
A, I'm with you with why this isn't more about Topanga. B, you brought up the Amish, and I have been waiting to say, why are the Amish here? The Amish are
I can answer that conversation.
Okay, what is it?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Amish are prevalent in Pennsylvania.
I get that, but they don't have a football team that they play other colleges with, and the Amish is a community of people. It is not a school. That's my only thing. Like, they didn't say Abraham Amish High. You know, like, that's not what we're playing against. Or, you know, what is it called? Jebediah's Technical School of Butter Churning. Like, they don't say any of that.
No,
they
this is against the Amish community. It's personal.
Exactly. And it's just...
And you know what? I can't think of a better way to say fuck the Amish than on a TV show in a format in which they will never encounter.
Not never, but I mean, you're not wrong. And again, it's supposed to be hijinks. It's supposed to be funny. It felt weird. And it also felt to me, I'm just going to say this, it felt a little like the Amish, like, you know how a lot of sports teams will have insensitive mascots?
Oh, them 100%.
Them playing the Amish felt like they felt like it was the safe way of going. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just
honestly, we all need to have a conversation about Amish rights, guys. The Amish have been left out of the conversation for far too long, and now they're being attacked by the majority, and we just honestly need to stand up. We need to stand up for the Amish.
I stand
with the Amish. Hashtag.
I'm ignoring you. I'm saying that... It felt like they were like, we need a rivalry team. Should we make it I'm going to call it Native Americans? Well, that's problematic. Should we make it the, you know, Colonials? It's like, that's problematic. So they just went with like, the joke is it's a protected group that would be offensive, but this is one we can get away with. That's
honestly, it's fair. punch down to a white group that won't hear the message. I get it.
You have to live with the fact that you said that. I didn't. So there's nothing on me. Okay. In general, I will say also the idea of Eric going back in there, taunting Feeny, and then Feeny changing his mind. And Feeny saying, well, I didn't think about school spirit. I was like, okay.
Here's thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Because this, I mean, immediately reminded me of the season 4 episode where the school's getting like graffitied because the kids are upset with the final schedule. Yes. Yep. And Corey, Sean, and Topanga stand up for John Adams High or whatever.
I think it's season 3.
Season 3. Thank you. Whatever. Please, thank you. The only reason that I bring that up is because, like, Feeny is not the dude to be like, hey, I am going to overlook this person's educational deficiencies for the betterment of school spirit. That is not who George Feeny is. That motherfucker blatantly says so in the beginning half of the episode. So to say that, like, Eric said something, which, by the way, honestly, if you're just watching this episode for the first time, you could probably take this at face value. You probably aren't questioning this, that Eric was able to talk George into it, because I feel like the dialogue that Eric says to Feeny is believable enough. But for those who know Feeny as a character, know that he would let this dude fail so that everyone can learn an ultimate lesson that education is the reason why you're in college.
Yeah, well, I will give them this. They actually, they try to have it both ways, in the sense that they have Feeny say, but then Eric talked about school spirit, and I forgot about school spirit, and you're like, wait, what? Feeny would never. Feeny don't give a fuck about school spirit. He care about school. However, they then say that Feeny was inspired to tutor Jerry, and Jerry was able to then get the grade that passed. And again, I agree with that, but why don't we just say that? Also,
yeah.
If Jerry was being tutored by Feeny, then what was the point of Rachel? Again, we're not going to look too closely. It's just one of those things where I was like, you guys are mixing messages and it's weird. All of that said, I'm ready to wrap this up because I feel like I'm really happy that we got Jack developed because we don't get any Rachel development. So at least we're getting development for someone. I really liked the dynamic of Eric and Jack and the idea that Jack has this problem, but because Eric gets involved and makes it worse, that is incentive, even though we don't really say it explicitly, it's incentive for Jack to kind of re-examine his own history with gambling. Although it is weird that we have like this whole little side piece of like Amy being like, I hate gambling. I hope none of you kids ever get into it. It's like,
oh my God.
Wait, why are we here?
Is so much
episode or not?
Thank you so much for bringing this up. We never talked about this, and I have to spend a moment talking about the fact that it comes out that Alan has been gambling on the college games, and Amy says in front of her children, I'm very uncomfortable with this, and it's just played as a joke.
Well,
once again, we are shown that a lasting marriage is based on never pressing the issue, never standing up for the things that make you uncomfortable. Just let it go.
She says, you know, I hate that you gamble. And he says, that's why I do it. So
in front of her daughter, can you imagine what Morgan is growing into as a person? No, she hates her dad. She hates her dad.
The reason why I even brought that line up is because it leads me to my bra moment. I usually ask you what's your bra moment, but my bra moment is we open up with Eric, who is a cheerleader, looking up someone's dress.
Yep.
And not only does he look up some girl's dress, but Jack later says you'd rather look up someone's dress than whatever. I don't know. It's nonsense reason. And he goes, Patty. And it's like, okay.
This show can't decide if Eric is a ladies' man or not. They can't decide if he is attractive or not. And like they keep going back and forth on both of those things in a way that's confusing for me as an audience, because I have to say, taking in Boy Meets World as a series, I would say that Eric is an attractive guy who had a lot of girlfriends at the beginning of the show. What happened to that? Why is it this thing to where he is so, like, he can't even get a girlfriend and he's, like, desperate? Like, it's so weird because Will Friedle is an attractive person. So I can't pretend that he is this, like, nerd that they're trying to play him into.
To your point, you just made me realize, why do we even put Corey in the costume of the Penguin? Because what would make more sense is for Eric to be hiding in the Penguin costume.
Yep.
Like that's what you do. You just make it aware. Like,
Brett, you're literally making my blood boil thinking about Corey becoming a Penguin. I can't even talk about saying, that shit. It's so stupid.
They make Corey do the swap where he's like, I'm the Penguin. And then later on, it's revealed that he's not the Penguin.
Yeah.
But like, if Eric needs to hide, which we established, why would Eric not be the one in the Penguin suit? And the reason why I said all of that is because you're right that a girl is hitting on Corey, but not Jack and not Eric. And those are two available single guys, unless everyone else thinks what we think, which is that they're not single.
And oh, I think they are very much in a relationship. Also, what I gathered from this episode is that that girl is desperate for Penguin dick. It has nothing to do with Corey and everything to do with her being a furry.
I told you, she
it was more about the costume than about Corey. 100%.
She loves a man with a uniform. Okay.
What tuxedo.
Let's get through this. What is your problem?
My bra moment was not Eric looking up the chick's skirt at the beginning of the episode. It was at the end of the episode when Jack implied that Eric sexually assaulted an Amish woman.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
So just that. That's my bra moment. Casual sexual assault.
And by erasure. Again, I'm sorry. The only thing that will get me through this season is just accepting that Eric and Jack are bisexual. They are in a bisexual couple. Because it makes all of their interactions make more sense. And by the way, for anyone who's just like, oh God, you gotta make everything gay. I promise you, I would not care if they weren't. But their dynamic doesn't make sense otherwise. Even Corey and Sean have like some like relationshipy moments, but not to the level of Jack and Eric. Like, yeah, they are each other's life partners in this show at this point in time. And like, again, you have hot women hitting on everyone. Nobody gives Jack a second look. So,
and in a show where they wrote his own brother to have flavors of the week in the early part of the series, where Sean was with a different girl making out seemingly every episode. There's no reason why we can't write Jack to be that, but do we? No, we don't. We show him at the Matthews having dinner with his roommate, quote unquote. We show him dress up in a themed costume at the end within the Amish community. I'm sure they had fun with their own little role playing. Very cute. I'm here for it.
The same thing, which is like what I was going to say, is the idea that where Eric goes, Jack will go. Eric's a cheerleader, Jack's a cheerleader. Eric's in the Amish company, Jack's in Amish country. And the idea of, again, they constantly show Jack is upset that Eric is looking at someone else. He's jealous. He got problems with it. So
you just brought something up to me, which I feel like is so important, which is Jack will follow Eric. He will follow him. Follow him wherever he will go.
Okay. What is the feeding lesson?
The feeding lesson of this episode is, Topanga, your girly emotions have gotten in the way for far too long. Just shut up and get married. I wish there was a better Feeny lesson. Give me one. Prove me wrong.
I don't have one. You know what? I'll say this. The ultimate lesson is even if a relationship doesn't last, it doesn't mean it wasn't worth it.
Thank you so much. Okay, you know what? I'm so sorry to interject. That is 100% the Feeny lesson that I wrote out before we had our conversation and I got sidetracked with all these other things, was that I love this lesson and I wish it had been the main focal point, because I feel like the football bullshit took up a lot of the storyline. But Topanga's mom saying to Topanga, it's not about the length of the relationship, it's the fact that you had it at all. It's such a beautiful lesson. It's such a mature lesson that kids, like, it would be hard for a child to understand that, like, hey, just because this thing doesn't last for forever doesn't mean it wasn't beautiful and important and that you shouldn't value it for the length of time you had with it. Like, that's such a great lesson, but it's kind of underplayed by a lot of what else is happening in this episode. So again, I'm so sorry to interrupt. That's something that you brought up that just sparked something in me that I knew I needed to say before we closed out.
No, and by the way, I appreciate that, because the only thing I had to add to that was like you said, I like that that's the lesson, but I also like a line that Marsha Cross says when she goes, I may not still be a wife, but I'm still your mom. Mm. I'm still a mother. And I was like, yes, this idea of, look, my marriage and my relationship with your father didn't define me. There are other things. There are other.
She says something to the effect of, I would never trade what we had, even if I knew it wouldn't last forever. Such a mature way to look at love. Such an important lesson for Topanga to learn. Is this the way I wish she learned it? Not at all. But I'm glad she learned it. And in terms of, like, the show having the heart to where, when we first started talking about this episode, you were like, hey, I feel like this show does accomplish the goal it was set to accomplish, which is Topanga and Corey are broken up and then they get back together. It's focusing on this aspect that I feel does that puts the band-aid on, that allows the audience who's looking at the forest and not the trees like I am to be like, okay, there is a lesson that was important that was learned that makes all of this bullshit worth it, even if I don't think Corey and Topanga really had a great reason to break up to begin with.
I agree.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
What grade are you giving this?
C.
C plus. That's what I'm doing.
C plus.
I'm doing a C plus. Here's the thing. I told you, I had fun for the episode being the episode that it is. That's where I'm at. I think it's because I just black out Corey's involvement at all, and it makes it better. But I thought ultimately I enjoyed the lesson. So C plus. That's what I'm going to give it. Okay, homework. What homework do you have?
Why don't you start with homework, bro? What have you been watching? What have you been ingesting? What have you been interested in? What would you like to recommend to our listeners?
Absolutely. I watched Wonka. I watched Wonka, and I enjoyed
it. Did you know it was a musical when you watched
it? I did know it was a musical, because there's this running theme. Whenever they're like, a brand new take on a classic, they're like, so it's a musical. Just say it's a musical.
Yeah.
And by the way, for people who don't know this, musicals have always been used and always made a resurgence when we are in a down economy, because people need joy, they need laughter, they need songs when the outside world is very heavy. So
bet your bottom dollar, bro, that tomorrow there'll be sun.
Exactly. People need musical. And I look forward to seeing other people's. I enjoyed myself. Again, this is a situation to where, was it the best musical I've ever seen? No. But I was told, I've never seen Paddington. I was told it has the exact same feelings and vibes as Paddington. And people love those movies. And I also liked it because they weren't trying to be Gene Wilder. They weren't trying to do Johnny Depp. They were in their own world with their own rules and their own things, with homages to the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And those homages were just enough for me. It was just like if we're talking ingredients, it was just a hit of nostalgia, but everything else was its own, and it was fun. I had a really good time. I enjoyed the songs. Can't say that I remember any of them, but I enjoyed them. I enjoyed the way this made me feel, and it does make you feel. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Siege, I don't know if you know this about me. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast, but I do love a musical.
You
I am
do.
a Disney Renaissance kid. I also
We know
loved
that.
all of the like musical movies that came out during the aughts, like Phantom of
Yes.
the Opera and Hairspray and Les Mis. I grew up on those. I literally have zero interest in seeing this movie. I wish there was something about it that pulled me into it. I wish I liked Timothy Chalamet. I wish I was interested in seeing his version of Willy Wonka. But to be honest, I am so in love with the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka that I literally cannot get on board. Even as a musical, like all of Willy Wonka's movies have been musicals, if we're real about it.
Yeah, no, I get
But
it.
I just like Timothy
If I
Chalamet and
can,
his costume really turned me off from the get-go.
if I can, if I can, I will push and say that you have no incentive to see this other than my word. And if you go
Okay.
see it, I'm willing to put my word on the table and say, if you go see it, I think you'll be surprised. But you do have to separate the idea that you are watching the Gene Wilder movie. I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, this wasn't a prequel. And it's like, it's not trying to be a prequel to that movie. It's trying to be
Yeah.
its own thing. So if you are able to, like, I mean, how many Spider-Mans have we seen? How many, like,
Sure.
we've told
Sure.
stories over and over again. And I just feel like Wonka is the latest property where they were like, hey, we could probably do something with this. Also, I will say I watched it being like, you intend for this to be on stage. You intend for this to become a traveling musical, and you do a job enough to where I watched it the entire time being like, oh, you will absolutely make this into a stage play, and I'll go see it. So that's how I felt about it.
Wow. 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 Okay. Yeah.
I think it's worth a chance. You have AMC pass. Just go.
You know what? You're right. You're right. I'm not picky. I'll take anything I could get.
Okay, what do you have for homework?
For homework, I'm gonna throw out tapas. I've been really enjoying small plates lately. This
Papas.
isn't this is not a conversation about movies, about music, about any kind of thing related to entertainment. I just have to say that I've been really enjoying small plates. I like the idea of getting like a few bites of something and then working my way to something else. I like the idea of trying drinks and trying bites, and I feel like tapas does that really, really well. So yeah, this isn't for anything specific, not even a specific restaurant. I've just lately been like in a tapas mood. I want a
Just a
bite
little
of
taste,
this, I
little
want a bite
scopes.
of that, I want a taste of this, I'm gonna dip this in that sauce, and then I want to move on. Like, I don't need to dedicate my entire belly space to one meal anymore. I want to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So, in general, tapas.
Tapas is good. Tapas is a good select. Tapas does bother me because I like portions, but you're right. If you're doing a little dibble dabble, I think it's fine.
Granted, in this economy, in
Oh,
2024, no, obviously tapas are not a smart financial decision. But when you really want to treat yourself, nothing says treating yourself better than paying $18 for two bites of something.
exactly. Splurge. Treat
Splurge.
yourself.
Yeah, it's like the world's ending, whatever. Have fun with it.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you. Let's all go have some tapas, watch some movies, have a good time. You guys, next week, we will be covering our interview or sharing our interview with Gary H. Miller, the
Oh,
writer.
can I talk about this for one second? Yeah, for those who do not know, Gary H. Miller, who I am so excited to talk to on our next episode, not only did he do some of the most pivotal episodes of Boy Meets World, specifically like the emotionally heavy episodes of Boy Meets World, such as when Sean's father dies or the drinking episode that happened in season 5, he also has been pivotal in other incredible television shows such as Laverne and Shirley, A Different World, and he was like a showrunner on Fresh Prince during like the prime of the show. So like the conversation that we have with him is so great, and I'm so excited that we were privileged to have it. And if for those of you who usually skip over like the bonus episodes of Pod Meets World, like I get it, but like this one is really fun, and I encourage you to tune in.
Absolutely. Completely agree. You guys, check us out next week when we interview Gary H. Miller. In the meantime, we wish that you would dream.
If you're going to dream, why don't you try?
And do good. Do better than what we're doing, whatever this is.
Just do better. I'm just going to say do better. Don't even do good. Just do better.
All right. Later, bros.
Later, bros. This episode of Brought Me to World was produced by Siege and edited by Tony Curtis. Brought Me to World is a 2 Free Tokens media production.
Bye.
When this boy meets world.